Hello, everybody, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, everything in between, slug or alien. You're listening to Beyond the Panel on UMFM 101.5. I am your provider, host, connoisseur. I'm Brian. What's up? What's up? Joining me, as always, the effervescent Curtis Mensforth.
Loving my intro as always. I am happy to be here, guys, as usual.
And joined, first time ever, Braden.
Yes.
Our newest host. He's going to be with us the rest of the way. We've got an hour long now, so
hopefully I can make it by the hour. Here we go. Super thankful to be
on
here with
and
you
guys. Upward.
So first of all, I want to get a little bit of an introduction from yourself, Braden. Tell me about yourself, your comic, how you got into comic books, your listening experience, what you enjoy most, and what you hope to bring to the show.
Well, it's kind of like I've really been into comics ever since like I was super little. Like I used to live in Dauphin, Manitoba, like way up north. And so the comic selection there is pretty thin, but we'd always get Amazing Spider-Man in the Walmart.
Sick.
Yes.
And man, I wish we could pick that up at Walmart, right?
Oh, man.
Those were the days.
Okay.
I started off with Spider-Man, and since then I've just like grown to love both companies, although I'm primarily a DC guy right now. I also love a bunch of indie companies like Valiant Comics. Go out there to Exo Manowar, one of the best books online.
Right.
And Aftershock Comics. Oh, only been up 2 years, but they're killing the industry right now.
Right on.
Yeah. And I actually work at Galaxy Comics, so I'm surrounded by comics as a job.
All the time.
No stranger to Galaxy. So.
I'm jealous of that.
We love it there.
It's great. It's like what I do there is essentially what I do at home with my own collection. So it's like it's not even work.
That's the dream.
Passion.
It's just living a dream.
What you want to do with your own time, right? That's that's cool.
Yeah.
That's wicked. So what's your favorite? Who's your favorite hero? Who's your favorite author? Your favorite villain?
I hope this isn't a trite answer, but like Superman is definitely my favorite hero.
That's not one that, like, I mean, like, I get that people have been Superman fans in the past, but, like,
he's an iconic character for a reason.
It's super
right?
uncommon now for someone, like, our age to be a Superman fan, so that's cool.
It's like everybody kind of disparages him. They're like, oh, he's, like, just a big blue Boy Scout. He has no personality, but it's like, he's, like,
it's what he represents, right? And, like, what he can be under the right writer. You can really do a lot of amazing stuff with Superman as a character.
Right.
Exactly. Like, John Byrne's run on Superman is
iconic.
Dan Jurgens, but like Max Landis, although we like discussed him earlier, I'm not a huge Max Landis fan, but he summed up Superman the best way. He said, Superman is a guy from the Midwest with the best power possible. He's unstoppable. And it's like, yeah, that's Superman. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
American Alien was a good story.
I really enjoyed American Alien, but Max Landis also did that short film, The Death and Return of Superman, which was really good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
We talked about how they should have handled
Doomsday. Right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So that's cool. So welcome in. We are excited, ecstatic to have you in.
Thank you.
Hopefully you're going to be able to be here every single week with us from now on talking about stuff. So going on forward, we are a menage a trois.
Ooh. That is right. that's one way of putting it.
So far, we've talked about loads of superheroes and villains and teams and big storylines from the big two, Marvel and DC. Today, we are going to delve into things that don't include them.
Yes, Marvel and DC is a very limited scope of comics. Comics as a medium is far more than just superhero stories. So if you're not into that kind of stuff, I guarantee you there is a comic book for you. I think anyone can enjoy comics if they just find the right story.
Yeah,
exactly.
Superhero stories are just, they're great, but they're just one facet
the gem. Yeah, there's a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, because like you find, at least I do, a lot of the independent comics tend to venture into some of the things that superhero comics don't touch on. While metahumans are awesome and cool, there are far fewer comics in Marvel and DC that touch on things, you know, like normal people just living real life circumstances. There are less storylines that delve into high fantasy. There are less storylines that delve into deep science fiction. There are less storylines that deal with all kinds of like interesting and cool stuff. For example, I'm going to put this out here as one of them, something that I know that Curtis and I both love. Braden hasn't had the opportunity to read it yet, but The Fix by Nick Spencer.
Mm-hmm. The Fix by Nick Spencer, yes.
It's just like a Miami Vice crime comic with a really dark
It's very
sense
depraved.
Of humor. Yeah,
would
it's
be the word.
It's disgusting, but at the same time, like, it's so brilliant and so well done. The art is simplistic, but but beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it perfectly portrays the feeling and the emotion and everything that comes from a particular story like that. The lighting in it is particularly good because, like, it has... I know it's drawn lighting, but the way that they do the art on it, like, it almost seems
so colorist,
there's lens flare.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, right? Like there's lens flare on something that is drawn.
Props goes out to the colorist on that.
Yeah,
series.
So like it just kind of embodies like that late 80s shot on VHS level.
Oh,
of,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it's definitely a great series.
Doesn't have a little tracking bar at the bottom going track, track, track.
Oh my God, I wish. That'd be so hilarious. Oh, I miss VHSs, man. Stop it, I'm old. Get off my lawn. So like it's stuff like that it's just like, it's just a crime novel, right? Like it's just talking about two dudes attempting to commit like a bunch of really heinous, disgusting crimes from like a really dark, humorous perspective.
Nick Spencer is a very
Humor
well. Yeah.
You wouldn't find that from like Marvel or DC because it's not superhero based. It's normal people doing normal criminals doing normal criminal stuff, normal bad guy stuff, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So like, tell me, Curtis. Hook me up with an independent comic that you're really digging.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's
or have dug
ones.
In the past.
Yeah. There's a lot of great ones out there. I'm a really big fan of a lot of Rick Remender's Image Comics series that he does, and he's doing a few right now. He does Deadly Class, Black Science. He did Low, just to name a few of his
Seven to Eternity.
Seven to Eternity is really good.
So tell me about some of those. Like both you guys, like talk me through like what are some of these comics about?
Well, I think one of my favorites, I would say it's a tough one, but I think my favorite work of his is probably Deadly Class.
Okay, so
basically Deadly Class follows a kind of down and out kid who gets accepted to this this secret school for assassins who are all like the kids, very notable, well-known like assassins. And it's set in the 80s too, so it has a very unique like visual style to it. Very humorous. Rick Remender does humor very well. And it just follows like all the different kind of misadventures of high school life, but at the same time, you're also an assassin. So you're dealing with people not just figuratively maybe stabbing you in the back, but literally at the same time.
Okay.
And there's a lot of great storylines, lots of high action. It can be sad, it can make you laugh, it makes you feel a lot of things, but I'd say Deadly Class by Rick Remender is one of the best Image Comics series. And it's not to say that his other stuff isn't great as well. Like, in general, I just like him as a writer, but that might be my favorite one.
Okay.
Brayden, what do you think?
Well, I'm more familiar with Rick Remender's stuff when he was at Marvel.
Yeah, he did Uncanny X-Force, I love that run.
And Uncanny Avengers as well, which is like their flagship book after Marvel now. And it pretty much set so many things up for that universe. But I'm not too familiar with his Image stuff or his creator-owned stuff.
A lot of people know Black Science. Like, that was going to be the one that I mentioned, too. That's a really good series as well, dealing with, like, alternate universes and dimensions. And it's very, very sci-fi adventure, and I love that genre in particular.
Yeah.
It's a family drama because it's Grant McKay has, like, two kids, and they're stranded going through like the Eververse, it's called, trying to find their way back home. So it's dealing with that family dynamic, but at the same time there's aliens and all kinds of wacky landscapes and lots of bizarre science. So it's very much a blend of like two genres. So
it's like a really dark mix of like Fantastic Four and Lost in Space.
Yeah, Black Science definitely has a Fantastic Four vibe. And I guess that's why I like it so much, is because I'm a giant Fantastic Four fan. I don't think I need to tell anyone about that. Brian knows too well, probably.
Yeah.
I've talked his ear off maybe a little too much on the Fantastic Four.
Hey, don't get me wrong. I really like the Fantastic Four's concept, but like, two out of the three experiences that I've had with the Fantastic Four so far have been like not good.
Not too big on the Morrison stuff, but
and the Kirby Stan Lee stuff is all like really archaic and dry and really hard to read in 2017.
Yeah, I feel you.
But when it came out at times, it was just bonkers.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong, it's cool. Like, for all the people that like want to go back and like listen to stuff from like the 40s and 50s, like, good. I'm glad. I'm so happy you can do that. It ain't for me, man.
And that's fair, right? Like, there's always going to be stuff that appeals to different people. But yeah, Black Science, Deadly Class are two of Remender's best things that he's doing right now. And then also 7 to Eternity is only 9 issues in, but that's shaping up to be a pretty good story. Mm-hmm. Are you reading that by any chance?
No, like, I got priced out of that so bad. Like the first issue, I wanted to pick it up.
I happened to stumble into it. Like, issue one is worth, like, what, $70 now?
This is why you read digitally.
I feel you, man.
You're killing the industry.
How?
Nah, it's fine.
If I'm pirating, I would agree, but I pay for my stuff.
Nah, that's fair. Yeah. He's still supporting.
He's supporting their work, and there's a lot of merits to reading digital, right? Like,
I love it. And I don't want to turn this into an argument. It was just a joke.
I was just joking as well. Like, nothing against people who buy digital.
Okay, cool. All good. As long as don't pirate, kids. Pirating is bad. Ooh.
Yeah, there are some things that I enjoy digitally, too. Like, it really depends on, you know, what you enjoy. And as long as you are reading stuff you like and you're supporting creators, I think that's the main point there. But 7 to Eternity is a really cool comic. It definitely leans more into fantasy, so it's not as much sci-fi, but more fantasy. Mm-hmm. Drawn by Jerome Opeña, so if you liked his stuff in Uncanny X-Force, Avengers with Hickman, Opeña is a pretty great artist. So that series is a very lush world that Remender has built up. It includes all kinds of, you know, monsters, creatures, and it's just a very... It's a very personal story, but blended with fantasy this time around. So I think that's what Remender's strength is. It's taking very relatable aspects, but then blending it with like a different genre, whether it be sci-fi, fantasy, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But Brian, what about you, man? Like, what kind of things, as far as like stuff that you enjoy? Like, what
I'm actually going to defer this to Braden because he hasn't told us yet.
Lord,
I'd like to hear what Braden has to say.
I have another comic that I want to bring up and talk about, but I want to hear what Braden. He hasn't had a chance to talk about something he really loves yet. So,
Norris,
let's hear it, man.
My answer is kind of like three pronged. It's like I mentioned Aftershock and Valiant in my bio there.
Yeah, but Aftershock also hasn't been going for too long, right?
They've only been going for like 2 or 3 years, in that 3 years, they've actually got a serious market.
I'm familiar
share
with
right
them. Donny Cates, what's it called? Baby Tooth? By Aftershock, yeah.
Yeah, and they've got so many other creators
we
there.
We talked about that last week,
yeah,
and I was really interested.
An
I was really intrigued and interested by it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and Garth Ennis had a book there
just a little bit
ago. It was Shipwreck.
Yeah.
And one of the best books out of there that unfortunately was like canceled, but it was the gem for me. It was by Paul Jenkins, and it was called Replicas.
I like Paul Jenkins.
Paul Jenkins is top notch.
So talk to me about that then.
Okay, it's basically set in this way in the future where it's like humanity has met up with all these other civilizations, and there's basically like this one city that's kind of like the meet and greet.
Okay.
And there's a police force there that has like a representative from each of the planets. And, like, the humanity isn't seen too well. And, like, they have this one cop. Can't remember his name. But, like...
Unimportant.
The main character. Unimportant. But he just gets stuck with all, like, the really terrible work and the busy work and everything.
Okay.
And there's this company out that's like, oh, if you want, like, an easier life, we can make a clone for you. And, like, they can do, like, half the work in that. And so he goes there going, all right, I can just get a clone for me. He can do all the paperwork and I can do all the investigating. But instead something goes wrong in the process and he ends up with 99 clones.
Whoa.
And he has to like manage this like police.
A slight malfunction.
Yeah, pretty much. And he has to like manage this like now micro police force
of
him.
Just of him.
Yeah, but it's like each of them has like a different personality in that. And so it's like, it's a comedy book. It's
that
like a comedy
really
sci-fi.
Cool.
It's really good. It only lasted like five or six issues.
Oh, so not.
What's, and so
not
so
a long
so
one.
For the listeners, what's the name of that? What's the name of it again?
It's called Replicas,
and it's written by
Paul Jenkins.
Okay,
that is solid.
Yeah, and my other pick, which is still going on today, thank the Lord, is Exo Manowar by Valiant.
I've heard so much great stuff about kind of the rebooted Valiant line that they've kind of launched in the last few years.
Since its like formation in the 90s, Valiant has always kept a philosophy of less is more.
Yeah.
Like they don't let their like line of books expand too big. They always keep it concise, but they always try to pour all their effort into each book. And Valiant is currently like doing a bit of a reboot right now, a reshuffle where it's like Exo Manowar is just like it's on its like 9th issue. sorry, Ninjak is just starting up again. Bloodshot is, Jeff Lemire is like starting the second phase of his Bloodshot
saga.
Yeah,
they always pull in really good talent for these series that they're doing, which and is why
Lemire is incredible.
Yeah, oh, so good.
I love Lemire.
And Quantum and Woody is starting up soon, but it's like Exo Man of War is great because, like I was saying to you, Brian, I'm like a huge fan of the Conan the Barbarian.
Throwback.
So it's so good.
Trust no one but Sword.
There you go. Exo Man of War is Conan the Barbarian in space. Where it's really, it's like, it sounds like
a, what?
I can see that being interesting.
Oh. Well, it's like the whole concept of it is like.
So does he have a sword?
Kind of.
Does it cut people in half?
Yes.
In space.
Oh, it does.
In space.
In space. But it's basically.
Oh my god.
The characters.
You could just stop your description right there.
Just go just buy the book.
That's I need this thing. In my life.
And it's. And, like, the current run is great because it's such a, like, I was familiar with EXO before starting on, but it's such a good jumping on point for anybody because it starts off with him on this, like, distant planet, and it's, like, he's just kind of like a servant that's, like, working his way up. He somehow got onto the planet, like, got kicked off Earth, but and it doesn't really say why, and it's like, you know what, that doesn't even matter. No. What matters is him getting involved in, like, this interspecies war on the planet.
Okay.
And it's, like, it's him slowly getting higher and higher in the society. It starts off with him as, like, a soldier. The second arc is him as a general. The third arc right now is like emperor, and it's like him slowly becoming like the ruler of this planet.
Who's writing Exo Manowar right now, by the way?
Fellow by the name of Matt Kint.
Oh, I'm definitely familiar with him. I just didn't know that he was writing Exo. That's really awesome. I know his Dark Horse series. What's it called? Mind Management.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like that's where I know Matt Kint from.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting that that he's writing this. That's really intriguing.
Oh, and the art really has like an Alex Ross feel to
that's,
it.
So like very surreal kind of
okay.
It's paintings.
Oh, that's
rather
really,
than like
that's interesting.
Your traditional like pencils
I like that.
And there's no ads in the book. Like
right on.
The book starts literally you have the cover, it starts on the other side of the cover and it runs all the way to the end of the book.
Oh, sweet.
You don't have any ads breaking up the story.
Yeah,
or anything.
Yeah. That's awesome.
He wrote the graphic novel Revolver, did he not?
I think so.
Yeah.
I really
enjoyed that. Revolver was so good.
Valiant always draws good talent though to their stuff, which is why like they're a very, I guess, young universe relative like Marvel and DC, right? But they've got a lot of traction behind them just because they get a lot of really good writers and artists to like do their stories.
That's like, one thing I would actually like recommend, right? Like if you want to go, if you're a Marvel fan and are like really sick of like how they're
follow creative
editorializing,
teams.
Like go, and, but like still want like the cohesiveness of like a universe and a war, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or an idea like Valiant sounds like the right place to go for that, right? Like it's if you want to like read a whole bunch of individual stories, then obviously like Image because it's all like creator owned and all that stuff,
which is really awesome because they don't have any restrictions.
Yeah, like having a cohesive universe and like a plan and like having like a set of comics that you know you can always go and check out. Like that Valiant sounds
that's where you jump into Valiant
because it's like Valiant was created by Jim Shooter, the former like Marvel editor in chief. And Jim Shooter, one of the things he was known for was quality control at Marvel. He was like...
Something they are sorely lacking currently.
Well, we'll see what this Legacy Initiative does, but...
They admitted they made a mistake.
Yeah, which is good. The first thing is admitting.
Do we want to talk about that right now as is relevant, or can we sure do we can. Want to talk about it like later in the show?
I feel it's a good point to address that briefly.
Yeah, so like they straight up admitted like the quote from Marvel was basically like straight up like we gambled big and lost.
But now they're trying to course correct
badly.
Hopefully Legacy, like I want Marvel to succeed. Like I want them to do well. Yeah. I want them to succeed and I hope Legacy does this for them. It's too early to tell right now just cuz Legacy hasn't like it's only been around for a little bit, so it's too early to know.
Right,
but we'll see. We'll see if that turns things around. It's hard to speculate.
Yes,
Rebirth really helped DC a lot, though. I don't think anyone would argue with that.
Yeah, like I was saying to Brian, like Rebirth. Like I'm a huge DC fan, but I didn't have a ton of hope for Rebirth going in. I was like, okay, this
and that's
is like,
fair, right?
This,
like,
yeah, this
we,
like
you went through the New 52. Yeah. It had some good titles,
we
but it also had some
52,
bad. Yeah, it had some bad titles too.
And yeah, we were all just like. This is DC's Battle of the Bulge. Like, this is their, like, Hail Mary play.
Yeah.
And they did it.
They pulled it off. And they're still doing well to this day. Like, a lot of their series have all been really, really well received, mm-hmm. from what I've been reading, at least.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, I have all kinds of issues about it. We're going to talk more about them at a later date.
I'm sure
That's not what we're here to talk about right now. Right. So, the comic, the independent comic that I really wanted to highlight. Now, I haven't brought it up much on here, but for those of you that know me personally, know that I am and have always been a huge fan of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And it's just
like
such
I know where this is going.
It's been such a large part of my life. It's like watching real life superheroes fight each other. They fight in ways that no humans should fight.
Yeah, exactly.
They come out in wildly colorful costumes, speak in cartoonish ways. They have cartoonishly polarizing motivations.
Right.
Like, there are people. There was a show on Sunday where a dude from hell put a giant swamp man into a garbage truck. And then the garbage truck functioned. And that was a thing that happened.
That sounds ridiculous,
but
amazing.
That's not the most comic book thing I've ever heard.
I watched somebody murder somebody else on television.
Sounds about
and
right.
And everybody was okay with it.
It was
so,
all good.
A company by the name of Arcana Comics, very small, put out a comic based on pro wrestling in 1976.
Oh, wow.
And it's called Swerve. It follows a character by the name of Eric Layton, who was a former professional football player who blew out his knee. And in 1976, if you blew out your knee, that was it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you weren't going to be able to, like, be a professional athlete anymore.
No.
So he joins a wrestling territory, kind of like the NWA, back in 1976. And they don't pay him as much as they promised to pay him, and said that in order for him to, like, make all the money, he would have to, like, get involved in, like, the really shady, like, under business.
That sounds intriguing.
So, like, he does, like, drug muling, and he gets involved in, like, being, like, muscle for a protection racket, and, like, it's him and his road partner who becomes his best friend, and it's, like, the entire time it's just, like, this guy, Eric, like, trying to come to grips with, like, how awful of a person he's having to become to be able to support his family, and, like, whether or not he's able to deal with all this stuff. And I'm not, like, the name, I am not going to spoil the Swerve at the end of the comic. It is only 6 issues long.
Oh, wow. That's really easy to dive into.
Yeah, it's only 6 issues long, and it's not like there isn't a lot of exposition or talking. They let the art do most of the talking.
I like comics
for it.
That trust their artist enough to tell the story with imagery. I mean, yeah, you need the words too, but if you have a good artist, you gotta trust them that they're gonna be, you know, in sync with you and telling a story as
right.
well.
And so it's written by John JD, and it's art's done by Dexter Wee. Judy has done, he did Stephen King's Orbit.
Okay.
And a whole bunch of stuff for, like, Vincent Price. So, like, the Museum of Macabre and stuff like that.
All right.
And the House of Horrors. But he hasn't really done a heck of a lot outside of that. And Dexter Wee has only done 3 things. The Black Suit of Death, Cura Te Ipsum, and Swerve.
So this is really, really not too well known.
Really indie. Yeah, really indie.
You're definitely leaning on the indie stuff. But it's good to highlight stuff that doesn't get a lot of recognition otherwise.
Yeah,
right?
And, like, even if you're not a pro wrestling fan yourself, it only does, like, it doesn't use, like, a whole bunch of, like, insider terms. It only touches very briefly on pro wrestling stuff and is more about, like, the crime and the character development of Eric Layton, the
That's
main
really
character,
awesome.
Which is, mm-hmm. it's a really good character development. It's brilliantly well done, and I super recommend checking it out.
That sounded really intriguing. You definitely piqued my curiosity.
What's the name of that comic again?
Swerve by John Judy.
Awesome.
Out on Arcana Comics. I don't know if, like,
definitely look into it.
I don't know if you can pick it up. Like, I don't know how difficult it is to pick up physically. But
was it a physically released series?
I think it was. I'm pretty sure.
There are some comics that are, like, only digital. Like, they're created specifically for
right.
that format.
Comics always usually tells me if it's digital only, though.
Okay.
And I don't think this was.
Oh. It might be out there then somewhere.
But I know that you can pick it up. Yeah. So if you want the paperback version of it,
sweet.
It's going to cost you $51.
Oh, wow.
If you want to be able to read it, I know on Comixology it's only $6.
Digital for the win, my friend.
Yeah.
Did you say the book was written in the 70s or it's set in the 70s?
Set in 1976.
Okay, for a second I thought you said it was written. I was like, this book's ahead of its time.
No.
But it's set in that time period.
It's set in 1976. Okay. I want to say it was written in 2013.
Mm-hmm. Not very old at all.
I'm just going to double check, but I'm like 90%
sure. That's really intriguing.
That it was written. It was published intriguing. In 2013. Yeah, it was published in 2013. So
I like stories that take a good character and throw a little bit of dirt on them, where they have to wrestle with their morality and like what are they willing to do.
Yeah, and the swerve is awesome. Like
that's really cool.
Like no pun in, like slight pun intended. The swerve of Swerve is very good. It's very good.
A good twist is always appreciated in the story.
Yeah. So enlighten me, something else that I should be checking out independently.
All right. Well, one of the kings of indie comics, or just non-Marvel, non-DC, would be Ed Brubaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he does a ton of Image stuff.
Like
he's very well known for his past Marvel and DC works, but now that he has. I think it's like a 5-year exclusive contract with Image. He's been putting out hit after hit. Like, Ed Brubaker for me is pure gold.
Mm-hmm.
Anything I've ever read by Brubaker has been super good. So one of the things that recently, just 2016, that he put out was a story called The Fade Out. Have you read The Fade Out, or are you familiar with that?
Can't say I have. I might have seen it on the shelves at Galaxy.
I'll give it a brief synopsis. The Fade Out is basically it's set in 1940s Hollywood and all the cover-ups and like all the shady business that went down in like 40s Hollywood.
I love conspiracy theories.
Yeah, it's like that. And like they had like fixers, so like anytime that you did something controversial, or like you did something and someone has dirt on you and they're going to like leak it to the press, you would have a fixer who like dealt with that kind of thing. And this is all rooted in like real Hollywood too. That's the thing about this story. It was very like comics take you to another realm and it's fictional, and but it doesn't always have to be. Like in this case, The Fade Out is very much rooted in like actual events. It was very enlightening for me. Like it dealt with corruption, you know, the seediness of Hollywood at that time, the Red Scare, where like anyone who basically, you know, like slightly hinted that you were maybe involved with like communism, you would be like blacklisted. Mm-hmm. And like they would be unfair to a lot of people that weren't even like bad people. So I find that storyline just dealt with a lot of very interesting things that I hadn't really thought about in depth like previously.
Mm-hmm.
But when I read The Fade Out, I was like, wow, this is an amazing story. And it ended up winning the Eisner Award for best limited series in 2016.
Oh, hey, right on.
And for anyone who's like, what the heck is an Eisner Award? That is the equivalent of an Oscar award, but for comics.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that it won, you know, best new series
big
shows
deal.
That it was, yeah, it definitely
big,
was very well received.
Very big deal.
So I would say for anyone who's like, I want a change of pace from what I'm reading, read The Fade Out. I think you would be really impressed by just the historical accuracy and just how well told it's crafted.
Yeah.
So I'd recommend that. What do you got, Braden?
Oh, man. I'll try to follow that one. Like, mine's kind of going a little lighter after both the Swerve and
different genres, man. Like, there's so... That's what I said before.
I got a really light one, too, coming up, so...
I'm not even sure if you can call this indie, because this one has been around forever, and we all know it, but...
Like...
Mark Waid's Archie right now.
Hey, yeah. I like the Archie universe.
Mark Waid is currently writing Archie?
Yes, man.
Mark Waid is writing Archie.
Like, so good, though.
Brian and I both really dig Mark Waid.
Yeah,
like,
he's awesome.
I've talked in depth about Mark Waid. I think
Waid
he's a great writer.
Fantastic.
The fact that he's doing that is cool.
Yeah, it's this really updated take on like Archie and Riverdale. And it's this really, really human portrayal of them. And
Modern day. Right.
And it's similar but really different from Riverdale.
Fiona Staples is doing art on that, right?
Is she?
Well, at least the first arc, and I mean, everyone knows her from Saga, which is we'll talk about that in a little bit too.
Yeah, they have Saga's got a new issue coming out this week, so when we get to that,
we'll talk about that. But continue.
But it's just like it's so modern. Like it's not hokey storytelling like you might have seen. Like it's the storytelling we were growing
being
up.
Being a teen is weird, and if you can tap into what it's like to be a teen,
I mean,
that's a good story.
Being a human being is kind of just weird in general.
It's
but
complicated.
Being a teenager,
being alive, right?
Being a teenager is
and an interesting baffling. Time to be alive. So I feel like Mark Waid would write that really well. Like, I haven't actually read it, though.
And it's like he's making such an effort right now to, like, put the whole, the entire, like, mythos of Archie that we know into, like, one solid timeline.
That's really sweet.
Because it's like the first issue ends with, like in the Archie comics we grew up with, Veronica was always kind of like the newcomer to town. We right. never saw her come to town, but everybody kind of like treated her and she acted like the new girl. This arc starts with the Lodges moving into Riverdale, and you slowly see like the progression of like all the group of friends.
Do you think the TV show Riverdale pulled from Wade's Archie? You know, or at I least think, was somewhat inspired by that.
I think they started about the same
time. Because that show is wildly popular.
I actually just started watching Riverdale the other day, and I was blown away by how good it is. But the guy who's in charge of Riverdale, and the guy who's pretty much in charge
Roberto
of,
Aguirre Sacasa?
Yeah. I was listening to an interview with him on, like, CBC on the Q, and he was talking about how, like, was he the guy who did, like, Afterlife?
He wrote Afterlife with Archie, which is huge.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that, by the way. I thought Afterlife with Archie was such a unique read. Mm-hmm. The fact that he wrote that and is now the showrunner of, like, the live-action show, that's what made me interested.
Yeah. He has a history of subversive takes on Archie.
Yeah.
And you kind of see that in Mark Waid's run, but it's like Mark Waid still has that innocence of Archie that we all know.
Okay.
So, still, it's just... It's
really good recommendation.
Really good recommendation. Like,
I'm surprised I haven't read it. Like I said, I read Afterlife with Archie, and I thought that was phenomenal, but I haven't actually read...
When did Archie start?
1950? No, was it? I think it's probably in the 50s somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was as early as the 40s. It could have been.
Well, it's like teen comics really took off in the 50s. Like, superhero comics died about near the end of
1939.
World War II. Oh, wow.
What?
I was off on that.
I was. Oh.
My knowledge on Marvel and DC is impeccable.
MLJ.
I wasn't too sure.
MLJ
about that.
Magazines in 1939. It is 78 years old.
That's amazing. So it's going to have its 80th anniversary
very soon. Its first issue of just Archie comics on its own and not being in a magazine is winter of 1942.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, that's something that would have helped people through the war.
Oh, yeah, just like that kind of innocence. Like,
that's amazing.
The hijinks of, like, teens and kids. And it's like, all that carries over into the new series, but it's like, If you're into comic books, but you're kind of a little like overloaded by superhero comics, this is such a good series because
this would be very appealing to just all ages.
Yeah,
very friendly. I would say
it's almost like a John Hughes movies at times, like Breakfast Club, 16 Candles.
There's no way that it doesn't make it to 100 years, right?
No,
we're only 22 away.
There are some things that last forever. That will be one of them, I'm sure.
Wow. I wonder what they
Batman's getting there too.
I mean, like, I know that it's like 22 years away, but like, I wonder what they would do for like a 100th anniversary. Is Archie finally getting married?
No comic or character that I have read has made it to 100 years. Like, even Batman was 1939.
Yeah.
So it's same as this. It's the same.
Yeah. So these have been around for 70 plus years, but that would be interesting to be alive when it hits 100 and, like, what kind of celebration.
I mean,
that
I kind of hope
like.
We all are.
Yeah.
Let's hope so, Matt. I'm only 21, so, I mean, I better be alive in another 22 years.
Yeah, you'll be 43.
Yeah.
Wow. And still collecting comics, right?
Of course. My love for comics has been lifelong.
You might actually have a for real Batcave.
When I'm established, my dream is to have the most amazing, like, comic book room at some point.
All right, so the last one I want to talk about before the big one that I want to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to talk about Sex Criminals.
Yeah,
by
Matt Fraction.
Matt Fraction and Chip Zdarsky.
Yeah.
Chip Zdarsky, nice.
Yeah, and Matt Fraction is brilliant. I cannot get enough of Matt Fraction. The guy's amazing.
Yeah, we're both really, really big Fraction fans.
Put out in 2013, also won an Eisner Award in 2014.
Yeah.
Two Eisner Awards.
That's really impressive.
And so... There's also going to be Universal TV is making a Sex Criminals television show.
A lot of Image Comics have been at least optioned for shows.
Yeah.
So that doesn't surprise me at all that happened.
And so basically what it is that these two people, Susie and John, a librarian and an actor, meet together and at a party and... Like, the buildup is, like, both of them are just completely bored with their lives.
Right.
And they don't know what to do. And Susie works at a library. She's a librarian, but the library is, like, going to close.
Yeah.
Because
that's right.
You know, it's got having money issues, and they start seeing each other and they sleep together and find out that when they have an orgasm, they stop time.
By the way, this is not for kids.
Definitely
don't,
not.
Don't show this to your younger brother, younger sister, younger cousin.
It's colorful. It, like, the art is crisp and clean, but it's like, this is not for kids.
No.
You and definitely need to be an older person to read.
They basically you know, they get to know each other better. They start, like, seeing each other more and more. And then they get, like, this idea to rob a bank in order to try and save the library. And
I mean, who wouldn't think of that idea?
I don't know.
And that was the joke, is I don't think I would go there.
Yeah, like,
which is why it's such an obscure and quirky comic.
Regardless of how it happens, you find out from some weird coincidence that something that you do stops time.
Yeah.
Rob a bank?
What's your instinct?
What is the first thing that comes... No. Like, I'm asking you to.
Yeah.
What is the actual first thing that comes to your mind?
I would want to mess with people before I would want to, like, steal. So I would probably play some hilarious pranks so that when time unfreezes, like, I could definitely do some interesting, funny things with that. So I think just messing with friends would be what I would do if I could stop time.
Pretty much that.
I'm a very noble person. My mind doesn't immediately go to, like,
criminal
let's
activities.
Rob a bank.
Yeah, see, I would just want to spend more time with people.
Yeah.
You know, like, if I was able to freeze time and, like, be able to spend that time with someone, then, like, I would freeze time and, like, instead of only, like, getting, like, a couple hours with someone, like, spend an entire day with them.
But are they unfrozen with you, or are they frozen? Are you the only moving entity in reality?
If I am the only moving entity, then I'd probably use it to just play more video games. Right? Like,
and then you don't feel like you wasted an entire day
instead of spending
you froze the day.
Instead of spending 40 hours over the course of a month playing, like, Persona, I would just, like, freeze
just
time.
Get it all done. Right?
Freeze time and get it done in, like, 2 or 3 days. So that way, yeah, I didn't feel like I was wasting as much time.
Fraction and Chip Zdarsky, they definitely have a very good creative bond
The first thing I think of would absolutely not be robbing a bank.
Which is why it's so funny, though, that that's what they end up doing.
Yeah.
Is there any lead up other than that? Is there any, like, them getting into, like, hijinks and, like, doing that?
Yes.
Stuff, or do they just go, let's rob a bank?
No, there's hijinks.
Were you saying that there's going to be a Netflix?
No, I was just saying, like, when you were talking about how properties are being bought up and everything, it's like Netflix just bought the rights. Pretty much, actually, they just bought Miller World.
Yes.
Which is, like, all of Mark Miller's,
yeah,
like,
Mark
Miller,
titles, all of his comics.
So it's like, yeah, like, they have a huge library
I heard about
of comics
that.
To adapt.
Yeah.
We live in quite the age now, like, where lots of good comics are getting more traction as far as, like, wider audiences, which I'm all for. I think that's great.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got 10 to 15 minutes before, like, the wrap-up. So the big one I want to talk about. Now, whether or not you really consider this indie or not...
One of the most notable, yeah.
It is probably the most notable, and it's the Turtles, man.
Ooh.
I actually, that was on my mind. IDW's TMNT, I love it.
Yeah,
love
it's
it.
The art is crisp, it's good, the writing is fantastic. It focuses on characters that you wouldn't expect them to focus on. They have an entire
I love that
set
series.
Of issues focused on old Hob, the
they
mutated
cat. They
have
all the micro one-shots that really dial into one specific character. Like,
which is
Casey
amazing.
Casey Jones one-shot was great.
It expands on the universe so much. The
I
Turtles are incredibly well-written. The combat scenes are well-choreographed and paneled out. They are well-penciled. They are well-colored. They are well-written.
Yeah.
The entire story itself is, like, everything a Turtles story should
well, it
be.
It blends a lot from different eras. So you have lots of the 80s Turtles characters, but then you have some, like, more modern things that are from, like, other Turtles series, and it just blends all these different things.
And it's
in
so
one
good.
Series.
Are you a Turtles fan at all?
Not as big as you guys, but I do remember, like, growing up with the Turtles and everything, and I have no doubt that the current books are great.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Because it's, like, even... And, like, the one thing I am current on is when they just had, like, the crossover with, like, Batman.
Yep.
Batman and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That was a pretty solid, like, miniseries, but...
You know, the, like, all the cross... Like, they've been doing crossovers and stuff, and it's hilarious.
Issue 75 drops this week.
75
yeah, it does.
Yeah, so it's been going on for quite some time.
It kind of, like, the crossovers and the way that they're going about it and the comedic style, like, almost reminds me of, like, the 60s Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. Speaking of which, a good Scooby-Doo comic could be amazing.
There's Scooby-Doo Apocalypse out
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, Scooby Apocalypse is a thing, but just, like, a regular Scooby series.
How would
like
you go...
TMNT.
So like, indulge me on this. What would a good, like, how would you go about writing a good Scooby-Doo comic?
Man, Mark Waid on Scooby-Doo. Like, let's get this guy on. If he can, you know, revitalize Archie, I'm sure he could take old, you know, Scooby-Doo's been around since the 60s.
If he did, like, a Scooby-Doo take like he does with Archie, it's like, I don't even see Scooby-Doo being a character. He would just be, like, a dog in the background who's, like, the mascot of the team. And it's more about, like, the relationships between, like, the four members. And it's like them solving teams, so it's all about like
that
them as teenagers.
I haven't really thought about that, but I was always a big fan, like growing up, just watching like the show.
Mm-hmm. I think that like so the relationship between Scooby and Shaggy is something important too, though, right?
You can show those moments where it's like Shaggy, maybe he's uncertain in his place in the team, and it's like, he sees like Scooby the dog as like his only like real friend,
just kind of there.
Yeah. Right, and it's like
That is a super interesting way to go about it.
Scooby can still like a dog. He can still like emote, I guess. So you like,
but no noises. Like no talking.
Yeah, and so
like just
like
barking.
Kind of like talking out his problems to like this dog.
That's amazing. Oh my god! Because
let's give Brayden the reins to Scooby Doo and let him write it.
That's amazing. I need this comic. Can you write this, please? Can we get this started? Image, if you're listening, hit us up.
Who has the rights to Scooby?
I guess it would be IDW,
then. I'm here. U of M. Outrageous amount of hours, so you can probably find me, napping in a library somewhere.
Who owns Scooby-Doo? This is... Keep talking. I'm going to look this up.
Well, it's like... Scooby Apocalypse is being made by DC, and it's like...
Well, the Hanna-Barbera, right? All of that stuff is with Warner Brothers DC and Warner Brothers. So I guess it would be DC.
Would own it then.
I guess that would be
Time Warner.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, DC has been doing really good with, like, the Hanna-Barbera, like, series. Mm. Like, they had a really cool Future Quest, Space Ghost.
Oh, yeah, where they had, like, the team up of, like, five or six properties.
And they have Scooby Apocalypse, which is...
Its own...
Zombies, Zombie Apocalypse... Dystopian future.
They already
Scooby-Doo
did a movie
blended.
On. They already did a movie.
Flintstones,
like
which is I think Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connors.
The Flintstones is apparently the best one.
Yeah,
out of that.
I think it's the same crew who does like Harley Quinn.
And then Snagglepuss just got announced to have his own comic.
That's right.
Flintstones is kind of a fine line to walk, man.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch those Hanna-Barbera Flintstones cartoons, like there's a lot of misogyny in those cartoons.
Yeah. Well, look at the time that it was made.
To be honest, though, the Flintstones were like not just the first cartoon. The first television show to show a married couple in bed.
Yeah,
that's
right.
It was the first show to show that. Like
it was aimed more at adults than it was at kids.
That was nowhere else in television up to that point.
That's right.
Man.
So in some ways, it's a little ahead of its time, but still like misogyny.
Well, no, like it was the same amount of misogynistic as the time that it was in, right? But like, how do you go about... updating, like I'm interested to read this. I'm interested to see about how they went about updating it. So
they
it's
bring
like
a lot of
bad.
Modern day issues into
like the book was only like 7 or 8 issues, but people it was just critical acclaim. All
yeah,
the way.
I'm gonna have
it
to
was,
check this out. That sounds
those,
really good.
One of those overnight success books. Like no one was really talking about Flintstones, but it just got a lot of
everybody thought it would be like
people.
Another wacky Raceland, which is like. Another property that DC rebooted in like a dark and gritty way that just kind of
it's supposed
flopped.
To be like Mad Max, but I think they
because like if you've ever watched Wacky Races, the original, it's just like it's over the top and ridiculous, and all it's supposed to do is make you literally laugh for a half an hour straight. I don't want to get like I don't want to explore anything deep when I watch Wacky Races.
It doesn't work if you have Immortan Joe in the background just going mania.
All I want to see is Dick Dastardly and Muttley try and do stupid stuff and then get thwarted. That's it. I want to see them do stupid things.
It's not a super deep.
Yeah, I want to see Dick Dastardly try and rope somebody up with like a tripwire, drive through the tripwire himself first like an idiot, and then Muttley just laugh at him. That's it. That is literally all I want
for
my Wacky Races.
I don't think would disagree with that.
So like, I don't want anything.
It's a winning formula. To
yeah.
be fair.
I mean, like obviously it stopped being a winning formula because they stopped having returns on that.
Yeah.
But like, if you go back and like watch. You can go back and watch Wacky Races on YouTube, and that stuff's still great.
Oh, yeah.
You can't watch, like, 40 episodes. You can't binge watch Wacky Races. Mm-hmm. But that's why it was so great as a Saturday morning cartoon, because, like, you spent your whole week waiting for it, and then you got to watch half an hour of pure,
Saturdays,
unbridled joy.
Saturdays, as a kid, were the best time ever.
Well, and it's really cool, because it's like, not only are you seeing all of these shows from the 60s and 80s, like, being brought back as comics... but you're also seeing crossovers between them.
Yeah.
Like you said Future Quest, which has like Johnny Quest, Space Ghost, the Herculoids.
Yeah.
And It's like five or six Hanna-Barbera shows like crushed together. It's amazing.
Yeah, Future Quest is bomb.
That's wonderful.
And but you also kind of get that with IDW right now, where they're doing a series called First Strike, and it's the G.I. Joe teaming up with the Transformers.
Yeah,
teaming up with ROM Space Knight. I think it's like,
oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's sweet.
Yeah. So like, I get that it's not like technically independent, but like at the same time, like it's not the big two, and IDW and Image have like a combined share, they, like 5% share of the market.
They
like,
they make some really, really good hits.
I don't understand why people like don't go out. Like, I get it. Batman is great. I love Batman. Superman's great. You love Superman. You know, you love the Fantastic Four. Yeah. You love Daredevil. Right. Like, it's great that people want to go out and buy all these things, but like these are known properties that people used to love.
Yeah,
yeah, so, like, exactly.
Why aren't people buying this stuff more? It's really underappreciated. Like, these companies are really underappreciated.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. And I think the thing is, like, people always have fond memories of those things, but I guess they don't... Maybe they don't even realize that there are comics out there that they can be buying.
I think that's the thing, right? I mean, like... And plus, people don't read as much as they used to either, but, like...
Yeah, because it's like the people who are buying these books are the same, like, adults in that who are buying other comic books.
Right.
And it's like... But whereas, like, with DC, you've got a healthy mix of, like, kids and adults buying it, like you don't get that kid draw at the other companies. Like, you have the adults purchasing these books, but you don't have like an 11-year-old walking into a store going, I want to see the subversive take of Flintstones.
Okay, that's fine and everything, but at the same time, like, IDW has Steven Universe.
Yeah,
kids love that stuff, right?
Adventure Time
has a new issue coming out this week.
My Little Pony like and Adventure SpongeBob Time. Sell surprisingly well at Galaxy. Like, it's crazy.
Man, get me a Hey Arnold comic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
Prano.
How good is the SpongeBob comic? Have you read it?
It's surprisingly good. Like, I was just flipping through it one time.
Is it close to the show? Like, is the humor there?
Yeah, very much so. And, like the humor still has kind of that, like...
Imagine they get the original creator writing that.
Oh, Steven Hillenburg? Or
Steven
Hillenburg?
Yeah,
Not Simon Kinberg, but it's like... And just looking, it's like, this art is really, like, lush and good. It catches you off guard, the quality of the SpongeBob comic.
Okay, I'm looking it up right now. Talk some more about some other stuff.
All right. Real quick, some other great stuff that you should be reading or things that have already finished their run that's out there to read. Why the Last Man by Brian K. Vaughan.
Yep, great. That's another really good one, too. We just gave away the first volume of... Descender.
Yep, Descender by Jeff Lemire. Great sci-fi comic. It deals with artificial intelligence, which is always an interesting topic to make a story about, and dealing with, like, what makes, you know, what constitutes being considered a person? Mm-hmm. You know, is it having a physical body, or is there more to it? So I guess Jeff Lemire really tapped into artificial intelligence, and he creates a really heartwarming story. So I would say Descender for sure. Check that out.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, so just looking up some of this art from the SpongeBob comic, it's beautiful.
I know, right?
It's gorgeous, and the paneling of it is so good too. There's one here that I'm one specific one that I'm looking at where like SpongeBob and Patrick are like jellyfishing, but like it's two pages, like it's over two pages, but it's one picture over like two pages, but it's like a time lapse, and it shows
awesome.
Like all the different things that they've done over the course of a day while they're doing this. It's mind-blowing.
The one I think you should really check out, and the one that like it's a cover of one of the copies that like I was just putting boxes in the home and that, and just putting comics away, and I was like, oh, this is really cool, and I just picked up and flipped through. See if you can find it's like SpongeBob and who's his like blowfish Mrs. Puff.
Mrs. Puff.
Look up SpongeBob and Mrs. Puff / like rock cover.
Okay.
It's like that one was one of like the most colorful.
If this comic
really
taps
cool.
into like the vibes of season 1 to 4, I think it could be a really cool
Which
comic.
Is the I maintain.
Yeah, you mentioned
the
that.
Best written 4 seasons of television ever.
If they can capture the vibe of that, I would say that would be an interesting comic to check out.
Because, like, SpongeBob, it was one of those shows where, like, the first 4 seasons where it's, like, it's written for kids, but it's still, like,
that
smart.
Humor
it was a cultural zeitgeist.
Oh, yeah.
It hit everybody.
Agreed.
It hit everybody, and you saw SpongeBob everywhere. People loved it because of that exact reason.
Yeah.
Like, there was enough jokey, funny SpongeBob, look at me, haha, I'm blowing a bubble humor. But there was also, like, enough, like, Squidward sitting in his job.
His, like, existential dread.
Yeah, sitting there. Yeah, and he, you know, Squidward telling SpongeBob, the customer orders the patty, you cook the patty, I give them the patty. We do this for 40 years and then we die.
Yeah.
Like,
that's just some dark humor right there.
Yeah. And like there is more than enough there's more than enough wicked, sweet, adult, jokey type humor in those shows. Mm-hmm. It's the perfect blend of a show that you can watch as an adult with your kids, and every time you watch it, you pick up something new.
Yeah.
And it's as equally funny or thought-provoking or awesome.
The gift that keeps on giving, so mm-hmm. to speak. You'll always get something new.
It kills me that the only seasons of SpongeBob they have on Netflix are 5 and 6.
Yeah.
It murders me.
That is outrageous.
It's wrong.
That is absolutely outrageous. Wow.
It's, kills me.
Were
you able
to
find the cover?
No, I wasn't. Ah, I found a whole bunch of other wicked sweet covers, including one using with like the whole entire Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy team.
We got.
And like
Mermaid
a
Man
lot of these
Barnacle
cover arts
Boy.
Are like.
Who are the
Mind
other
bonkers.
Members of
yeah,
that team?
No.
There are some really cool heroes on that team.
The
actually.
Quickster.
Oh,
the Quickster, yeah.
Want to see me touch that rock?
Want to see me do it again?
Yeah. I want to watch that
The Human
later.
Volcano?
And that was Squidward, too.
Yeah.
I gotta watch that later.
And Sandy turned into the Invisible
Miss
Woman.
Invisible or
Miss,
that?
Misappear.
Misappear.
Yeah.
That was it. Thank you.
Yeah. What was Patrick? He was like a Mr. Fantastic.
He's stretched.
He was a stretchy. Yeah.
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 Great episode.
Oh my god.
I can touch my feet now. And it just like goes the super like long way.
Super
so
long
dumb.
Way. Yeah. And God, who are the villains? It was Hammerhead Shark. Man Ray.
Yeah, Man Ray.
The Dirty Bubble.
The Atomic Krill, I think. Was
yes. And Old Man Jenkins was
one of the most underrated SpongeBob characters.
Yeah.
Man, Old Man Jenkins is like a top three. He's mm-hmm. a top three character.
Oh. But no,
I'm kidding.
It.
But I'm Old Man Jenkins, he deserves more love.
I'm just trying to think of like what other titles, like not just like properties, but there's just so much on the shelf these days. It's like there's
well,
a healthy
that's
variety.
The thing about working at Galaxy is you get to see things each week. Mm-hmm. Like you have a very good vantage point of like what's new, what's maybe being well received versus like things that are maybe not getting as much traction.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are some really underrated comics out there, which is so sad to see.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So like the actual names, Sandy turned into Misappear. Patrick Star was the Elastic Waistband.
Elastic Waist. Wow.
Squidward became Captain Magma, and then SpongeBob was the Quickster.
All right.
Yeah. Amazing.
Outstanding. All right, you guys ready for the wrap up?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So last week's top selling comics: Batman the Drowned.
Mm-hmm.
Batman number 33. Superman 33.
Yeah.
Mighty Thor 700.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Justice League 31.
Okay.
Invincible 593.
That's wrapping up soon.
Yeah.
Kirkman's wrapping that up.
Wildstorm 8.
Mm-hmm.
X-Men Gold 14. Nightwing 31. And Super Sons number 9. Any on there that surprise you or that you want to talk about?
I mean, as always, Batman.
That Batman and the Drowned is good.
Like the Dark Knight's metal tie-ins are supposed to be pretty good, so like, that's awesome.
Red Death and Murder Machine.
There's a new one coming out this week, too.
And that's like the Wonder Woman one, right? Like the Cursed or the Accursed?
Yeah, correct.
I really liked the Dawnbreaker one.
Yes.
Where it's like it's such an interesting take on what willpower is and like someone in the wake of tragedy, like... kind of like I talk about the spoilers of that, like what happens in the Dawnbreaker.
Okay.
All right. It's basically. Have you read it? Either of you guys?
Nope. But I'm going to.
I'm waiting to get a whole collected thing going. So
but
I
if you if
all.
If you want to if you want to spoil it, then go ahead.
Okay. Well, it's just like
spoiler alert.
Oh, it's, okay. But it's like each of these like tie-ins is all about like a different Batman from like a dark universe where like something goes horribly wrong and he becomes this villain. And it's like Dawnbreaker. It's all about like the moment that Bruce Wayne's parents are killed in that alley. That's when Abin Sur, the Green Lantern, dies, and the ring is like, oh, I need a new host. And, Bruce Wayne at the moment, he's just feeling just such a pit of, like, blackness. Like, he's not feeling fear about Joe Chill. It's not anger. It's just this dark void inside himself. And the ring is like, oh, this is willpower. And it's not. And so he gets a hold of the ring, and he's, like, using, like, that black void inside himself. He's able to, like, rewrite the ring.
Oh, wow.
And, like, make it nightmarish and able to, like, kill people. It's, like, it's...
That's crazy.
It's
that's
really, insane. Like... mind-blowing. It's really cool.
That is intriguing.
So yeah, keep checking out the Dark Knight Metal.
Yeah, don't want to sleep on that.
All right, into the comics coming out next week with a little bit more of an indie twist in some occasions.
Yeah, there's some really good ones that are not
John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China, Old Man Jack is issue 2 is coming out next week. New BPRD coming out next week.
Oh yeah, Dark Horse.
Action Comics number 990. Almost at 1,000.
They're getting there.
It's going to be gorgeous when we get to 1,000.
Oh, yeah.
Batgirl 16, Batman Beyond 13, Batman the Merciless.
Yep.
Which
new,
is
new
the
one shot.
Which is the Wonder Woman one. Teen Titans 13, Saga 48, which is, of course, like, it's this huge, high fantasy, amazing.
Yeah, it has some insane art in that series.
Done by Brian K. Vaughan.
Yep.
And we didn't get to talk
like
about it as much as we probably would have liked to, but.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's probably better that you just go and experience it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's something... It's a must-read.
Yeah, that's something that's hard to describe.
It is a must-read.
It is definitely a feel.
The early issues are a bit pricey, but you can find the trade paperbacks anywhere.
Yeah. Get the collected editions,
and
read them digitally
as well. Yeah.
Do whatever you gotta do.
On the Marvel side, we got some legacy stuff. Black Panther 166.
Leonard Kirk is the artist on that, and he's gonna be at Comic-Con this Saturday. So if you guys
go check it out.
Yeah, if you guys like his stuff, go see him on Saturday.
Spider-Man 790.
Mm-hmm.
All New Wolverine 26 and Despicable and Deadpool 288.
Those numbers.
Yeah, right? It's daunting.
Yeah.
It's daunting. So, of course, Slott is wrapping up his Spider-Man run in 10 issues. So,
yep.
10 months from now, I guess, we're going to see...
Spencer.
It's Nick interesting
Spencer.
Like, Dan Slott, I'm not a huge fan of his run, but he has the only gem... He wrote Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man issue 600. He wrote Amazing Spider-Man issue 700. And he's going to be writing Amazing Spider-Man issue 800.
He's been writing Spider-Man for a long time is what I'm taking away from that.
So what are you guys going to be reading this week?
For me, as always, Daredevil, new Daredevil drops tomorrow. TMNT 75 drops tomorrow as well, which is a milestone. No new Batman, Green Arrow, or Superman tomorrow, so not a ton, but just continuing to read back issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Way too many of those. You know that problem.
Oh, God, my backlog is huge.
Oh, definitely Batman the Merciless, like
yeah.
Dark
oh, yeah.
Knight's Metal
yeah.
is just killing it. And definitely Action Comics 990, like the current arc called The Oz Effect. It's a really, really interesting take, and the art is beautiful, especially the lenticular covers
Sweet.
Of all of the issues. It's like everything they did with the button, like times 10 in quality.
Nice.
So,
awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to be checking out, I'm going to be rereading the IDW Serenity Firefly comics.
Oh, sweet.
Just because I got back into watching that show, and so I want to read those comics again. Another independent one that I wish I had more time to talk about. So I thank you guys so much for joining us. You can hit us up beyondthepanelumfm@gmail.com or on Twitter btpcomicumfm. Thanks, guys. Hope you have a good week.
Glad to be part of the show.
Thanks for having me.